I thank God for the experience He gave me this week. As I shared, God is going to test us every day. One of the ways that, unfortunately, sometimes we see the sermons are shared is people use the whatever position they have. For example, the preachers, they would use the time that have to share a sermon to teach others or to, you know, attack others or, you know, point fingers at others. And I hope I don't have that attitude when I share God's word with you all. It is my heart that God speaks to me and then I share with you what God speaks to me. And I learn from these things myself. Like I told you, me and my daughter, we have been on this trip to Texas, and on our way back, we were tired, and it was a long day. So, she made like an unsafe move or something like that, and I did not react in the best way. So when I got home, after I took time to think about it and pray about it, and I talked to her and I said, even though she's just 16, I said, well, I just could just say, well, I'm the dad. I said so and that's it. That's, you know, that's how things go. It's not like that. I told her, I thought before God, the way I reacted, and yes, I was concerned, but also that concern was so soaked in anger. And I apologize for that. So it was not me enforcing my authority on her. It was both of us. Bowing before Jesus as Lord, we failed before you. So I hope as we come to church and we learn, this is the attitude we have, and especially the message that I was thinking to share today, this is not, first of all, well, I hope you guys get it. It's me. I was thinking about this for months. And when I heard last Sunday, Brother Zach, when he shared about children, how God uses children, the praises the children have against the enemies, I felt this is the time that God wants to share this message with you today, this morning. It's from Matthew chapter 18. And the way that Jesus used the child to teach us some valuable lessons. So I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 18, first five verses. Matthew 18, first five verses. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like a little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one of such child in my name welcomes me." So, the first thing that I noticed here was that Jesus was so honest and open with his disciples. These were not just a bunch of guys around him and just, oh, well, just tell us something we just want to hear. And these were the people that Jesus took and called them, and he said, "I'm going to use you as my disciples to build up my church and my kingdom." So here they come with this question, and I don't see Jesus like rebuking them. How could you think like that? Don't you guys like ruin my reputation with questions like that? Who do you think you are? He was so humble to look at them and just accept those questions. And these were people who wanted to follow Jesus, but yet they struggled with so many of these questions, and they asked, "Lord, who is the greatest in your kingdom?" And I want from the beginning to say that we're going to learn today from children, from a child, but the Bible does not call us to be childish, but childlike. So learn from them. In fact, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, the writer of this book rebukes, and he says, "You guys, by this time, you should be like teachers, and yet you need like milk, somebody to teach you the basic teachings." And we are called to be mature in Christ. not like children behave like children. So we don't take just a verse from the Bible. We're going to just behave based on that verse. Jesus highlighted some things in this chapter when he meant to be like a child, especially being humble like a child. But we are called to be mature in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults or be mature." So we are called to be mature in Christ. But when it comes to learning things, Jesus took a child. I don't see Jesus like looking at this and says, "Man, that's a good question. Well, let me call a rabbi or one of these, like, you know, scholars or some Pharisees, and let's have a 3 days debate, and we'll just come to a conclusion, and we'll see who's the greatest." He had such a simple approach and pure approach, and he just said, "Oh, there's a child right here." And he said, "Unless you change and become like one of these children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." That's such a powerful statement from Jesus. That tells me that by default, well, we are born as children. We all came like, you know, as little babies. We knew nothing. We've been taught everything. But as we grow, we learn to have this new or different personalities, or have different, even masks maybe, hide ourselves, and we become different people. We can show differently in front of people. We can like show all these things. And Jesus took this little child and taught them a lesson. I remember when we heard about Saul, the King Saul. When he started, he was a great man. God chose him to be the leader of Israel, the first king. And later, when he messed up, when he disobeyed God's commandment, when Samuel comes to him, and Samuel told him, that's 1 Samuel chapter 15, we see that. Samuel told him, "You were once small in your own eyes." Saul, there was a time when you were small in your eyes. Now you became such an important figure, such an important person, that you decided to do things you're not supposed to do. Who do you think you are before God? You have to obey. You're not there to do whatever you want. So he just got into that problem because Saul thought, now because I have experience, now because I'm this big guy and I have this authority and I'm the king of Israel, I can bring sacrifices, I can do whatever I want. And he did not have that mindset of a child. Did you ever notice a child when he wants to do something that's not okay? For example, I don't know, plug something into an outlet, or doing something that he knows is not okay to do. We are 11 siblings and we have a lot of experience. So I notice whenever, if mom or dad is present somewhere, you go to do something stupid, but you look at mom and dad, what's the reaction they have? And by the way they look at you, you know it's a yes or no, where you're in trouble. Saul was not like that, looking at the Lord and says, "Lord, is this okay what I do?" Nope, he was confident. "I know what I'm doing. Well, actually, by the way, the people, it's their fault. They pressured me to do that." So as a child, we learn to look at God and say, "Lord, what do you say? Lord, what is it?" And we look at his reaction, his face. In other words, our heart tells us, Holy Spirit is going to confirm if we are okay or not okay what we are about to say or do or whatever it is. So this is very important. By default, we are not like, okay, humble people. We just, you know, we just want to be the lowest, want to serve others. That's not how we are by default. Just recently, the politics, and not just the politics, but people want to be like, want to show the great side, you know, being strong and, you know, and bold and all that stuff. You don't want to show weakness. Like, you don't want to show like, oh, you don't know nothing about something. I remember in Romania, there was like campaign for presidential elections. And one of the candidates was asked a question. And it was a trap question. The problem was, and one of the journalists said, man, your problem was not this candidate's problem, was not that you did not, you know what to say. The problem was you were quiet for a few seconds. He was shocked by that question, and he didn't know what to answer. He just was looking at people, and he didn't know what to say. And they told him, at least just say something. Pretend like you know what's going on. Don't show weakness that you're being caught. It's like, okay, say something. Well, that's a very tricky question. I'm glad you asked. Whatever. Just, you know, blah, 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 like usually happens. And that's how, as people, we see we're surrounded by that. And when we come to God, sometimes we behave like that too. We don't want to show weakness. We like when the Bible presents us and it say, well, we are priests, we are gods, we're like eagles, we're like kings, and you know, we like all those things. We don't like so much when Jesus says, you can do nothing without me. You are like the branch connected to the vine, to the main. Without me, you can do nothing. You have to be like children, humble and learn. That's not what we like so much. So learn humility and be like Him. So I want to share just three main ideas that God put in my heart that I see in my life that I need these. And I hope that this is going to be encouragement for you all. So the first thing that I learned from a child is humility. That's what Jesus says. Unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. We have to humble ourselves like children. Humility. Humility, we know so much. Like I said, we could have the Pharisees, the scribes, describe what the humility means, what the words meaning, the root word and everything else. And that's important for, I'm not despising that. But humility, I see, is just recognizing that you're totally dependent on somebody. When a child is born, he's totally dependent on his parents or others to take care of him. He has no way, no ability to provide for himself. He just depends on the parents. Totally depending on the parents. For food, for protection, for everything. He's not self-sufficient. We are totally dependent on God. Today we're going to remember what the Lord did for us. I want to ask you something. What did you bring at this table that we're going to about to serve today? All we brought was our sins. Everything else is Jesus' offering for us. His grace, His forgiveness, His love for us. It feels so maybe humiliating, like to go somewhere, attending, I don't know, a wedding or something, and you just bring nothing there, a gift or something, and just feel like, man, somebody provided for me everything, and I just feel like it's so not okay. I'll tell you a little bit of like our culture. In Moldova, for example, not the Christian weddings, but like the, we'll say the worldly weddings, whatever, the culture is, whenever it's time to give the gift you have for the newlyweds, it's not like we do here, like we put in an envelope or just, you know, you put there and that's it. Usually people take the microphone and say, well, from my side, my family, we're going to offer, and they tell the amount publicly. Well, let's say, I don't know, it's $300, $1,000, whatever it is. People say it publicly. And that's in a way to boast about what you do and put pressure on other people. And there's a lot of things that happen that's not okay. I heard people like borrowing money and say, well, we offer $1,000, but the deal is secretly with the newlyweds, you give us back the $500. We just want to sound like we give this and that. So when I think about that, I learned some lessons here. When we come to God, we want to feel like we brought something. It takes some humility to say, Lord, there is nothing I can bring to you. Nothing, Lord, just my problems. I remember at our wedding, we had people that couldn't afford to travel to come to our wedding. And I said, no problem, we can help you to get here. We just want you to be here at our wedding. I see God offering us so much. And we as children, we have to recognize that there's nothing we brought to this. And Paul says this in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, that we have been saved by grace. By grace and through faith. There is nothing that we brought here. It was God's grace for us, so nobody can boast about it. So we come and say, Lord, we humbly just come before you and we accept your grace. We don't boast with weaknesses. We don't like to show that we are weak or we depend on God. But yet, God's people learn that secret to come as a child before the Lord and say, Lord, in my humility, I recognize it's all your grace. When Paul was in trouble, different physical or other dangers that was around him, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10, he says that God, Jesus told him, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weaknesses. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Like I said, people don't like to say that. We heard, you know, like, make America humble again. Great, strong. I just recently watched a documentary. The Air Force One needs to be like redesigned and they want to use bolder colors to show like stronger, bolder. I'm nothing against like, you know, this or that color. But people don't like to ride donkeys. When Jesus was back then, he was on a donkey, and Romans usually ride horses, and they show power and position. And when we come in the God's kingdom, the disciples were like, Jesus, what do we do with all these ideas? Do we just bring them with here in the kingdom of God? He says, no. Kingdom of God operates on different principles. If you want to get God's favor, if you want God to look at you and bless you, the first thing we need to learn is to be humble, humility. Come before the Lord and say, Lord, there's nothing I can show, Lord. Nothing that I can bring to you. It's all you, Lord. And this is not that we have to, like, we just go, like, and just, we are just so insecure, we're so weak. That's not the point. We have to be before God like that. But when it comes to Satan, God calls us to be like warriors. We humble before God, but we resist the devil. Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 9, says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. And then he says later, resist devil, resist him, standing firm in your faith. This is the quality we need to come before the Lord and just humble ourselves like a child and say, Lord, there are things I don't understand. I'm thinking sometimes about Moses. He saw God. He talked to God. And he experienced things that we never experienced in our lives, like physically being on a mountain and seeing God's presence there. And yet he says, what is your name? I mean, today, if you want like a 3-week series or, you know, nonstop somebody explaining God's name, we can hear that. And yet he's a man of God. He says, what is your name? What do I tell these people when I go there? He was humble enough to ask that. Paul, when he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, he says, who are you, Lord? These are questions that only humble people ask. Lord, please explain yourself. Talk to me, Lord, like a child. Humility. The child is not interested in like the status or like showing how smart he is and how much he knows. He's just humble. I encourage all of us to come like that before the Lord and then stand firm against Satan. Satan is not scared about our knowledges. He's scared in whose arms are you? And if we are in Jesus' arms, he has no chance against us because we humble ourselves and come before the Lord in humility. Second thought I want to share with you is the honesty. We learn from children to being honest. Jesus took that child there. It was obvious for everybody. It's a child. Everybody looked at him, and we know children are honest. They don't pretend to be something else or someone else. We like children because they are very honest. Like I said last Sunday, we don't ask usually children, how are you? How are you doing? We just go directly. Why are you crying? Why are you so cute? You're smiling. We just see what they go through. They are honest about their condition. They don't hide this. We don't judge them because the way they behave. If they cry, if they want to eat, oh, that's normal. Just, you know, let them go and somebody takes care of them. They are honest about their conditions. The scariest thing for me is that as a Christian, I can go years without God's presence in my life or the Holy Spirit and pretend like I'm a fully filled with the Holy Spirit Christian and yet being dry like a bone. A child will never do that. If a child is thirsty or hungry, everybody will know. He doesn't care if it's a church meeting, if it's a president here or whatever it is. They're going to cry for food or for water. They are honest. In Revelation, one of the churches had exactly this problem. They thought they were okay. They thought they're strong. They thought everything is perfect. And Jesus said, I am at the door and knocking. And you have no idea about your true condition. That's the scary thing for me, brothers and sisters. And I want to be honest before the Lord. When I come to Him and I say, Lord, this is who I am. Lord, I don't rejoice always, like we just saw this morning, this verse right here. Lord, that's not reality. I want that in my life, Lord. I want the Holy Spirit to change me, Lord, and make me overcomer. I want that, Lord. I noticed myself this week complaining a lot and just murmuring a lot. And you said that's not should be true in my life. Lord, as a kid, it bothers me. I'm uncomfortable. I don't want that. And for that, we need honesty. I shared before how encouraged I was by David Wilkerson when he came to that crisis in his life. And he was a Pentecostal. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And yet he was defeated. And he was somewhere crying out in the woods in Pennsylvania or somewhere. And he says, Lord, if this is the Holy Spirit, I don't want him. I see more in the Bible about him. I want that to be true in my life. Let's express our need for God. Let's be real and say, Lord, I need you in my life, Lord. I need more of you in my life. I'm not satisfied with just a little bit. You know, I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want that to be true in my life. David in Psalm 30, verses 6 and 7, he talks about, like he says, when I was safe and secure, I thought nothing could hurt me. Yes, Lord, while you were kind to me, I felt, I'm reading the easy read version, just the idea. I felt that nothing could defeat me, but when you turned away from me, where it says in a Romanian translation, when you turned your face away from me, I was filled with fear. I was scared. I was upset. I just lost eye contact with you, Lord. I couldn't see you anymore. And he was so honest, said, Lord, I was in trouble. I couldn't see you. That's honesty. We learn that from children. So I encourage all of us to be honest with the Lord. Like I said, these disciples, they came and asked a tough question. Lord, who is the greatest? And Jesus did not rebuke them. Oh, how dare you guys ask that? And how could you think like that? He was so patient with them. I remember when I was at the Bible school, we had a very tough teacher. One of them, he didn't like, He was upset we didn't get the point. And he spoke English. We did not know English back then. He was translated. Sometimes the thought was missed in the translation. And one day, I remember it was during the class, and I had my best friend sitting in the front row right there. And this Bible school teacher, he was very charismatic. And he explained about being born again of water and spirit, and he mixed everything. And he used to ask, and he liked to ask the question, "Do you understand?" And he asked that in Romanian sometimes. And all he was expecting from us to say, yes. My friend was sitting right there in front row, and he was just struck. This was a very good thinking guy. And he was just trying to make sense of it. And the teacher just asked him, "Do you understand?" And just sits like that and says, like, "No." He was so upset, that teacher. The guy was honest. "I don't get it. Why are you mad at me? Maybe it's my fault. Maybe something is..." You know, all of us, we didn't get it, but we were afraid to say no. You know, we're in the same shoes. But when Jesus was with the disciples, he got low to their level and says, "I like you honest. You guys are honest." And Jesus explained, he did not despise the low people. He did not, if there's some hope in us, something that want to get back to God, he is valuing that. I think God appreciates that. Our children are 19 and 16. I know they can fake it. I know they can hide things. And as a father, my wife, as a mother, we beg them and I say, please just be honest with us. How much more when I look at God and says, "Can you just stop pretending and just be real with me?" That's when we see the change that comes in our lives. When we are just real with God and honest and say, "Lord, I'm not what I used to be, Lord." I don't say we have to be honest with everybody. It's hard to be honest, and that's not the point. The Bible doesn't say, like, be honest. Even Jesus, when he was in the Gethsemane, he took all of them, but then he had Peter, John, and James closer to him, and he had this inner circle. He said, "I'm troubled. Please pray with me." I'm not saying we have to tell everybody, "This is what I struggle with." What I shared today, this morning, at the prayer request, I probably would not share this with other bigger group or churches. But I feel like we are here all together to be honest before the Lord and say, "Lord, please have mercy on me." One day, everything will be exposed. And we're going to stay before God, and God will say, "You are so dry like a desert. Why did you pretend like you're filled with the Holy Spirit?" And David in another psalm says, "Lord, I'm dry. I'm a land like a desert. Lord, please send the water on me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Lord." That's what God expects from us, because that's what children are. They are honest. If the kid that Jesus brought in, he just wanted to go to run to his mama, he'd just gone. That's what he wants. "Well, I'm thirsty. I need to go." They're honest about their condition. Let's be like that before the Lord. He's our Father, and we are His children. But what do we do when we find children around us? They behave like, honestly, they behave like children. And I'll tell you honestly, it's not easy to be around people or to have children that you constantly have to take care and just be there for them and try to understand what they go through. It's not easy. And Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, "Brothers and sisters, even if a person is caught in any wrongdoing or is like a child, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you are not tempted as well." Let me just put it in a different words. So if you see a child just filled up the diaper, Paul says, be careful. If you think you can manage it, go and fix the problem if you can. It's not an easy business. We are not here, like I said, we are not like Pharisees that you point fingers and stuff like that. Like, "Oh, let me teach you this. Let me teach you that." Many times I need people to have patience with me. Spiritually, I behave like a child many times. And I need somebody to be there and to restore me, help me. If we see a child that just filled up the diaper, well, we have a problem. Who can fix that? And we look at the proper person who can go and do that. I'll give credit to my wife. I very rarely change diapers for our children. But I remember one time, well, she waited, like she had to go on an appointment that was in Romania, and she waited because it was about time that one of the children had to do the business, and she didn't do it. So my wife said, okay, I'll just go because she was late. Well, the moment she left, guess what happened? Exactly. So now I said, okay, we couldn't wait for 2 hours, whatever, until my wife comes back home because that's bad for the kid, can get infection, whatever. So I said, okay, well, somebody has to do it. So I just grabbed with two hands, with my other hands, I grabbed the feet because it was like a butterfly. And I was trying to figure out, well, I need a new set of hands because, you know, I can't get the cleaning. You know, how am I supposed to do that? It's not easy. It's not pleasant. But my intention was not to humiliate my child, not just to, you know, just pretend I know what I'm doing. I wanted to solve a problem. It was not easy. Paul, many times, was crying. He was in tears. He says, my children. He felt like a woman, like in labor for children. If I want to correct any of you or encourage you, if I don't feel the pain inside me, I probably have the wrong motive to do it. Jesus told Peter, get behind me, Satan, not just to point him. It's like, you know, I got you now, man. Just, you know, this is Satan working through you now. Jesus, a few days, hours later, he had to die for Peter. That's the right attitude. And if we are ready to help, if we see somebody in need, and I see maybe I'm impatient and you want to help me, please, I need your help. Come and help me. But we don't have to look down and just point fingers. What if I go and ask, I ask Verity, like, what's 1 + 1? And she's like, yee, you know. I say, whoa, she doesn't know what's 1 + 1. Does she look bad or do I look bad? I think we know the answer. We all are weak in some areas. I have my struggles. And I don't pretend Matthew to carry 50 pounds, and I just say, hey, you cannot do that? Come on, man, I can do it very easy. It's not like that. Before God, we all like children. We have to be honest and also have to expect people around us that are honest. We have to help each other, encourage each other. The last thing I want to share is about we learn from children is being holy or pure. The purity. Well, I just put all with H. It's easier for me to remember, easier to share. But we learn from children purity. That's what God's kingdom is. It's filled with people that are pure in heart, pure in mind. A child is not, his mind is not polluted yet. He doesn't know racism. He doesn't know all this politics or like being jealous or like being like mean to others. They are not like that. They cry only if they are in some certain, danger or they have a need, like they want to eat or something. You know, adults, we don't usually cry because we're hungry. We cry because maybe we're insulted, or we are angry, or we are jealous, or, you know, different reasons for that. Children are not like that. They are pure. Let's be like that. God can make us like that. Come before Him, says, Lord, make me pure like a child. Lord, help me. I shared with you a couple months ago about my niece. I don't know, she was probably, 5, 6 or something like that. And they had a test in school. So her mom says, okay, Angelina, we have to pray and ask God to help you on the test tomorrow. And she says, no, mom. She says, why? Well, because that's cheating. We can't ask for help from anybody. We have to do it like, that's purity. As adults, we can twist Bible verses. We can squeeze and say this and say that. And, you know, we can come up like with, yep, the Bible just, you know, we found a good explanation for this or for that. That's because people usually don't come humble and honest, with a mind as a child to say, Lord, you teach me, and I will just listen. I want to come to the closing and say that this is very important. The kingdom of God is not like for people that are very difficult to enter in. It's like, well, you have to pass an exam. You have to like be able to do this, this, and this, and that. It's like a lot of requirements. Like, man, this is a selected group of people. It's not like that. God made it so available to us. And he said, you just have to humble yourself like a child. Just recognize and come before him like that. And yet, I don't think when we look at the children, they don't even care about the clothing they wear. I remember when I was a kid, we used to play outside and run and just jump and do a lot of crazy stuff. We lived in a village, like a very country side. And many times we fell and we just ripped the pants or the clothing. And it was very expensive back then. Back then, we didn't have a Walmart. It was usually, you know, we parents buy us clothing. You have to at least go 1 year, you know, with those. And then your siblings will have them and so on. So they took good care of us, but we have to be very responsible with our clothing. And when I used to fail, where like, you know, I messed up my pants or something, and I had like a little hole right here on my knees, it didn't bother me that I was wounded. What bothered me was the pants were ripped off. My mom thought differently. She was bothered about the wound, not about the pants. She was worried if I don't get infection or something. That's what was her concern. When we come before the Lord today and always, let's remember God is not looking at what we are looking at. He's looking for our well-being. He wants us to restore us, to help us. He wants to help us come closer to him. And our instinct is to always run away. We mess up something, we just separate, we go somewhere. And I remember hiding myself. When I mess up something, I just go somewhere and I hide. And I was hoping maybe, I don't know, somehow I will get through this without getting any trouble. We get that from Adam. It's in our nature. When we mess up things, we just hide and we just go and we try to go over this. And God is looking to help us. God is looking to help us, to restore us, to bring us closer to him. We just have to be honest with him. Like the prodigal son, he came home and says, Dad, I don't deserve to be called your son. He truly meant it. He felt like that. He saw himself like that. I said, I messed up your name, your reputation, your inheritance, everything I messed up. Please allow me to be a servant for you. And we all are surprised what the father did for this son. Just because he was humble, he was honest. And the father restored him. Let's come like that before the Lord. Amen.